Good afternoon, everybody. Glad to see all those that could make it out this evening. I apologize for the unprofessionalism. My slideshow is not really one to work with me, so I'm going to have to kind of exit out of it and get to the slide I want to, and then we'll get back to the correct slide. But for tonight's creation slide, I chose a picture from NASA's astronomy image of this of the day. Okay, this was the image for this past Wednesday on NASA's astronomy image of the day. The title of this image is M64, the Black Eye Galaxy Close Up. And so I'm just going to read you the image's description. This magnificent spiral galaxy is Messier 64, often called the Black Eye Galaxy, or the Sleeping Beauty Galaxy for its dark, lidded appearance. In telescopic views, the spiral's central region, about 7,400 light-years across, is pictured in this reprocessed image from the Hubble Space Telescope. M64 lies some 17 million light-years distant in the otherwise well-groomed northern constellation Coma Berenices. Butchering that name, but that's what it says on there. The enormous dust clouds, partially obscuring M64's central region, are laced with young blue star clusters and the reddish glow of hydrogen associated with star-forming regions. But imposing clouds of dust are not this galaxy's only peculiar feature. Observations show that M64 is actually composed of two concentric counter-rotating systems. While all the stars in M64 rotate in the same direction as the interstellar gas in the galaxy's central region, gas in the outer regions, extending to about 40,000 light-years, rotates in the opposite direction. And a little later on in the description, I didn't put this part in the lesson, but a little later on in the description, they describe this opposing rotation in these two inner and outer parts of this galaxy. They describe it as very bizarre, and it's almost as if scientists cannot determine what is the cause of this opposing rotating galaxy. And their best guess, or their best hypothesis, is that it was caused by about a billion-year-old merger of two separate galaxies. And that is at least their best guess, their best explanation. And it always is funny to me how when you look at anything in space and you see and you hear these hypotheses about what happened and how it all happened so perfectly and everything had to happen perfectly and it all had to come together, it doesn't seem very believable. This counter-rotating galaxy all just happened over a billion-year merger of two opposing galaxies, and they all just somehow came out to this very beautiful Black Eye Galaxy. And I never bought that, because there is always a very much easier and simple way to explain these things, and that's because God made it this way. I don't know why. I don't know why there are two counter-rotating inner and outer parts of this galaxy. I don't understand why. I have to know why. I just fully believe that God had an intention of doing so, and I just get to sit back and look at the pretty picture. But that was my astronomy image and creation slide for tonight. For our lesson this evening, I had two forms of inspiration. One was from a quote I came across probably about a month ago when I was searching up some topics to study. And then some other inspiration came from Glenn in his meeting that he did a couple weeks ago. So both seeing that quote and hearing some of the lessons from Glenn, common theme that we hear about and a theme that Glenn preached about in his lessons is that no matter what it is you're going through, nothing is too big for God to handle. When you get down in the dumps, sometimes it's easy to get down on yourself and you just push everything away, but it's important to never forget and never forget to turn towards God for assistance in your time of need. And so for a little introduction verse for our lesson this evening, I wanted to read Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. And after we read this verse, we'll go to God in the word of prayer. But the Bible reads in Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so, with that verse in mind, I will take a little break and go to God in a word of prayer. So looking at our verse, Isaiah 41, verse 10, when we looked at before prayer, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So this verse is a very encouraging, a very hopeful verse. At the time of the writing of this verse, God was speaking to the Israelites, and specifically he was trying to reach out to his faithful followers. As mentioned later on in the chapter, Isaiah chapter 41, some of the children of Israel had fallen into some trouble with idolatry and worshiping these foreign idols, but yet God was still trying to encourage his people, the children of Israel, to trust in him and remain faithful in him. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Now this verse obviously applies to the children of Israel at this time, but I think the same can be said for us today. Throughout the history of my lessons, I've been giving lessons for, I believe, a year or so, maybe 2 years, I can't exactly remember, but several lessons that I have given have had a very similar theme. And that theme is, whatever you're going through, whatever battle it is you're facing, if you have God on your side, you're doing all right. If you don't have God on your side, well, you better change that, because you are currently on the wrong and the losing side. And so that's kind of a common theme I've had throughout several of my lessons in the past. But I've repeated that thing because of how important and how essential that theme is to our lives today. As humans, as we all know, we all face different things. We all go through our own troubles. And we have a tendency to try to resolve these conflicts on our own power. We're very ashamed of asking for help, either from friends and family or by turning to God and asking for help and assistance that way. We shy away from asking for help. We're very prideful people. But it's when you put complete faith and hope in God that he will help you. And as the Bible says in our verse, he will strengthen you in whatever it is you're going through. The Bible tells us in Psalms, chapter 146, in verse 5, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. We should always remain faithful and hopeful in the Lord our God, and he can help us and assist us in our times of need. Another verse that has a pretty similar message to the Psalms 146 is Psalms 119. Psalms 119, verse 114. The Bible reads, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. And so some things in life are simply just above us. They're too much for our small brain to handle in comparison to God. So instead of trying to deal with these things alone, sometimes we have to turn to God. As the Bible says in Psalms 119, he is our shield. He is our protector. And so we should not be ashamed for asking for help, but instead we should always try to turn to God, with complete faith and hope in him. This next verse is a verse I've used in several of my lessons, and it's slowly becoming one of my favorite verses. And I've described this verse as really a simple way to live life. If you were to just follow this verse exactly, you would have a pretty content and happy life. And it's Romans 12, verse 12. There the Bible reads, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. Whatever you do, rejoice and be glad for the blessings that you have, and continue steadfastly in your hope and faith in the Lord. Be patient in tribulation. Whenever life throws its trials and tribulations your way, don't get flustered, don't be quick to anger, be quick to upset, don't be quick to blame, just be patient in those trials and tribulations, because none of those earthly trials last forever. And then finally, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Always, always pray. One thing that Glenn highlighted throughout the entirety of his meeting throughout the week was really the importance and the power of prayer. There's really nothing like prayer. There's nothing quite like it. being able to communicate and make our voices and our wants and needs known to God. There's nothing quite like that. And so earlier, in our introduction, I mentioned that some of the inspiration for this lesson came from a quote that I saw when researching something to talk about. And if you recall the title of this lesson, you would already have the first part of this quote. And so, the title of this lesson was The Giant in Front of You. So that's the first part of this quote. To finish it off, here is the rest of the quote. The giant in front of you is never as big as the God that is with you. The giant in front of you is never as big as the God that is with you. And so when I first saw this quote, I immediately thought of two things immediately came to mind. One was a very literal interpretation of this quote, and another was a very metaphoric interpretation of this quote. When I first read this, the very literal sense, I immediately think of David and Goliath, a very well-known story, a very well-known battle. David, a very small, frail, probably not a very muscular guy, wasn't a warrior, he was a young teenage boy, was having to go fight in this battle against Goliath, who was a warrior. He was feared among people. This Goliath, who had slain tons and tons of men in battle and was feared not only because he was a giant, he was huge, not only feared because of his sheer size, but also he was feared because of his impressive feats on the battlefield. And as most people who were witnessing this fight expected, this fight was a really short and quick fight. I figured most people would have assumed that much. But what most people watching this fight did not expect was the outcome of this fight. When David was walking down, getting prepared to fight Goliath with his sling, I like to imagine that David was kind of reciting this quote to himself. The giant in front of me is never as big as the God that's with me. This giant, this Goliath, is no match for the God that is with me. I'm a sports guy, so a lot of my references and metaphors that I can relate back to, they involve sports. That's what I grew up. That was my life whenever I was a younger kid. And so a lot of my references refer back to sports. And although I would assume most everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say this, maybe it's something you see on TV or maybe it's something you've experienced yourself. But sometimes before a game, an athlete, whatever sport it is, football, basketball, baseball, track, tennis, golf, whatever, they try to hype themselves up before the game, before their match, before their race, whatever that may be. So they'll give themselves a little pep talk. They'll kind of talk to themselves, walking down the tunnel, getting on the track, just in their own kind of state of mind. I remember in football, walking down from the, we would leave the locker room and walk down to the field, getting ready to run out of the tunnel to all the cheering fans and the loud music, the band playing. There would be guys that would kind of talk to themselves. They would give themselves a little pep talk, give themselves a speech to kind of pump themselves up before the game. And so I like to imagine, as David is walking down to this battle that a lot of people are expecting to not go in David's favor, I would like to think that he is kind of reciting this quote to himself. This giant in front of me, he's no match for the God that is with me. And as we know how the story goes, it was a single stone slung by David's sling, hit Goliath in the head, and just like that, that battle was over. So that was a very literal example, a very literal interpretation of this quote. Another thing that came to mind, as I said earlier, was the very metaphorical interpretation of this quote. I mentioned earlier that some of Glenn's lessons kind of sparked the quote, along with Glenn's lessons, kind of sparked this idea. And one of his lessons in particular that he gave that kind of sparked some interest in this lesson was the lesson he gave that he titled "When Upon Life's Billows." And the message throughout that that lesson was he highlighted, it's a song in our songbook, number 392, "When Upon Life's Billows." And the message that he gave in that lesson is whenever things go bad in life, and they will, one thing he pointed out was the song does not say if upon life's billows, it says when upon life's billows, because it's life. Things are bad, are bound to happen, bad things are bound to happen. I wanted to highlight the song Paul led this morning, song number 33. I really thought that was fitting for tonight because I'm just going to read you the first First verse, God has not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathway all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, peace without sorrow, joy without pain. An easy life full of sunshine and rainbows, that was never promised to us by God. God never made that promise that life would always be perfect. But he did, however, promise that he would always be there for us. I thought that was a very fitting song this morning for tonight's lesson. But as I said earlier, Glenn's message in this Bible, in his lesson, was that when things don't go our way, when wind upon life's billows, instead of getting upset and casting out blame, because that's one thing that humans tend to do whenever things don't go their way, whenever something bad happens in their lives, they're very quick to point the finger. They're very quick to point the finger and put blame, cast blame onto other people or something other than themselves. There's a phrase that goes, when you point that finger at someone else, you got to remember that there's three fingers pointing back at you. And I think that's a good quote, because a lot of the times when we get upset and we are quick to anger, quick to have all these emotions run through us, we cast out blame pretty easily, and we never think to kind of take our own responsibility for these actions or whatever it is that is going on in our lives. And so, the message of Glenn's lesson was that when these trials and tribulations went upon life's billows, instead of being quick to anger, quick to be upset, quick to point blame, instead of doing all that, we should instead be thankful for the blessings that we do have. Be thankful for the things that have gone well in our lives, instead of being just upset for the things that are going wrong. That also made me think of Dad's lesson that he gave on Wednesday. And in his lesson, he talked about the definition of wealth. If I remember correctly, by the world's standard of wealth, if you live in Dallas, you have to have a net worth of $2.3 million in order to be considered wealthy, I think is the number. Obviously, by that standard, I am nowhere near wealthy. Not even close. But when you look at the standard of wealth, the definition of wealth through a biblical perspective, well, we are all very, very, very wealthy. We have food on our plates. We have clothes on our back with probably more shirts and pants and socks that you can count in your dresser and closet. We've got a roof over our heads. We've got friends and family who love us and care for us. All of these things are blessings that we should be very thankful for. And all of these things are blessings that we have that are not promised to everyone else in this world. We are all very, very, very wealthy in our lives. And so, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When you're going through some bad times, when upon life's billows, instead of being quick to judge being quick to anger and being upset about the bad things, we should always be thankful for the good things that we do have. Another part of that song that I want to highlight tonight in song number 392 is the lines, so amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. And I think if you wanted to sum up the entire lesson tonight in a few short words, that would be what you would sum it up as. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, for God is over all. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. It doesn't matter the conflict. It could be something very troublesome, very hard to deal with. So it could be something great, or it could be a minor little inconvenience. It could be something small. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter, because God is over all. God created anything and everything that is in this world today. All of it, things visible and invisible, thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all of it was created by God. He is above all. And so, as I mentioned before, when I read our quote, the giant in front of you is never as big as the God that is with you, several things several things came to mind. One was the very literal interpretation of this quote. The other is just the metaphorical interpretation and just how simply relatable it is to all of our lives today. This giant, it doesn't have to be a literal giant like it was in David's case where he was trying to fight this 9-foot-tall beast of a man. It doesn't have to be like that in our lives. This giant doesn't have to be a large person we have to fight in battle, but this giant can be anything. It can be a trial you must face in your life, an obstacle you must overcome, a temptation you must flee from. It could be anything. But we just should always remember that we don't have to go through those. We don't have to face that giant alone, and that giant is never as big as the God that is with us. And so, by turning to God, seeking help and guidance and wisdom, we can get through those trials alone, or not alone, we can get through those trials with Him, and we can face that giant that is in front of us. And so, to close out tonight's lesson, I wanted to end the lesson with the verse that started it all, Isaiah 41 and verse 10. I really love that verse. So I'm going to read it one more time. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so, with that verse, that brings my lesson to a close this evening. I hope something that I said tonight was beneficial, but now we can stand and sing the song of invitation.